Eleanor. When Eleanor rang the doorbell, Magnum P.I. answered. Hi, she said, trying to smile. I go to school with Park. I have his books and stuff. Park's dad looked her up and down, but not like he was checking her out, thank God. More like he was sizing her up, which was also uncomfortable.
Are you Helen?
He asked. Eleanor, she said.
Eleanor, right. Just a second.
Before she could tell him that she just wanted to drop off Park's stuff, he walked away. He left the door open, and Eleanor could hear him talking to someone, probably in the kitchen, probably Park's mom.
Come on, Mindy.
And just for a few minutes. And then, right before he came back to the door, with a nickname like Big Red, I expected her to be a lot bigger. I was just dropping this off, Eleanor said when he pushed the screen open. Thanks, he said. Come on in. Eleanor held up Park's backpack. Seriously, kid, he said. Come on in and give it to him yourself. I'm sure he wants to see you. Don't be, she thought. But she followed him through the living room, down the short hall to Park's room. His dad knocked softly and peeked in the door.
Hey, Sugar Ray, someone's here to see you. You want to powder your nose first?
He opened the door for Eleanor, then walked away. Park's room was small, but it was packed with stuff. Stacks of books and tapes and comic books, model airplanes, model cars, board games. A rotating solar system hung over his bed, like one of those things you put over a crib. Park was on his bed, trying to prop himself up on his elbows when she walked in. She gasped when she saw his face. It looked so much worse than it had earlier. One of his eyes was swollen shut, and his nose was thick and purple. It made her want to cry and to kiss him, because apparently everything made her want to kiss him. Park could tell her that he had lice and leprosy and parasitic worms living in his mouth, and she would still put on fresh chapstick. God. Are you okay? She asked. Park nodded and sat up against his headboard. She set down his bag and his coat and walked over to the bed. He made room for her, so she sat down.
Whoa,
she said, falling backwards, tipping Park on his side. He groaned and grabbed her arm. Sorry, she said. Oh my God, sorry, are you okay? I wasn't expecting a waterbed. Just saying that word made her giggle. Park laughed a little too. It sounded like snorting.
My mom bought it, he said. She thinks they're good for your back.
He was keeping both his eyes mostly shut, even the good one, and he didn't open his mouth when he talked. Does it hurt to talk? She asked. He nodded. He hadn't let go of her arm, even though she'd recovered her balance. If anything, he was holding it tighter. She reached up with her other hand and lightly touched his hair, brushed it out of his face. It felt smooth and sharp at the same time, like she could feel each strand under her fingertips.
I'm sorry, he said.
She didn't ask why. There were tears pooling in the slit of his left eye and slipping down his right cheek. She started to wipe them away, but she didn't want to touch him. It's okay, she said. She let her hand settle in her lap. She wondered if he was still trying to break up with her. If he was, she wouldn't hold it against him.
Did I ruin everything?
He asked. Every what? She whispered, as if listening might hurt him too.
Every us.
She shook her head, even though he probably couldn't see her. Not possible, she said. He ran his hand down her arm and squeezed her hand. She could see the muscles flex in his forearm and just under the sleeve of his T-shirt. I think you might have ruined your face, she said. He groaned. Which is okay, she said, because you were way too cute for me anyway.
You think I'm cute?
he said thickly, pulling on her hand. She was glad he couldn't see her face. I think you're beautiful, breathtaking, like the person in a Greek myth who makes one of the gods stop caring about being a god. Somehow the bruises and swelling made Park even more beautiful. His face looked ready to break out of its chrysalis. They're still going to make fun of me, she blurted. This fight doesn't change that. You can't start kicking people every time someone thinks I'm weird or ugly. Promise me you won't try. Promise me that you'll try not to care. He pulled on her hand again and shook his head gingerly. Because it doesn't matter to me, Park. If you like me, she said, I swear to God, nothing else matters. He leaned back into his headboard and pulled her hand to his chest. Eleanor, how many times do I have to tell you, he said through his teeth, that I don't like you? Park was grounded, and he wouldn't be back at school until Friday. But nobody bothered Eleanor the next day on the bus. Nothing bothered her all day long. After gym class, she found more pervy stuff written on her chemistry book. Pop that cherry, written in globby purple ink. Instead of scribbling it out, Eleanor tore off the cover and threw it away. She might be broke and pathetic, but she could still scrounge up another brown paper bag. When Eleanor got home after school, her mom followed her into the kids' room. There were two new pairs of Goodwill jeans folded on the top bunk. I found some money when I was doing laundry, her mom said, which meant that Richie had accidentally left money in his pants. If he came home drunk, he'd never ask about it. He'd just assume he spent it at the bar. Whenever her mom found money, she tried to spend it on things Richie would never notice. Clothes for Eleanor, new underwear for Ben, cans of tuna fish and bags of flour, things that could be hidden in drawers and cupboards. Her mom had become some sort of genius double agent since she hooked up with Richie. It was like she was keeping them all alive behind his back. Eleanor tried the jeans on before anybody else got home. They were a little big, but much nicer than anything else she had. All her other pants had something wrong with them, a broken zipper or a tear in the crotch, some flaw she had to hide by constantly pulling down her shirt. It would be nice to have jeans that didn't do anything worse than sag. Maisie's present was a bag of half-dressed Barbies. When Maisie got home, she laid all the dolls out on the bottom bunk, trying to put together one or two complete outfits for them. Eleanor climbed onto the bed with her and helped comb and braid their frayed hair. I wish there'd been a Ken in there, Maisie said. On Friday morning, when Eleanor got to her bus stop, Park was already waiting there for her.
Chapter 23 Park. His eye went from purple to blue to green to yellow. How long am I grounded? He asked his mother.
Long enough to make you sorry you fight, she said.
I am sorry, he said. But he wasn't really. The fight had changed something on the bus. Park felt less anxious now, more relaxed. Maybe it was because he'd stood up to Steve. Maybe it was because he had nothing left to hide. Plus, nobody on the bus had ever seen anybody kick like that in real life.
It was pretty fantastic, Eleanor said on the way to school a few days after he came back. Where did you learn to do that?
My dad's been making me go to Taekwondo since kindergarten. It was actually kind of a stupid, show-offy kick. If Steve had been thinking, he could have grabbed my leg or pushed me.
If Steve had been thinking, she said.
I thought you'd think it was lame, he said.
I did.
Lame and fantastic?
Those are both your middle names.
I want to try again.
Try what again? Your Karate Kid thing? I think that would be less fantastic. You've got to know when to walk away.
No, I want you to come over again. Would you?
It doesn't matter, she said. You're grounded.
Yeah.
Eleanor. Everybody at school knew that Eleanor was the reason Park Sheridan kicked Steve Murphy in the mouth. There was a new kind of whispering when she walked down the halls. Somebody in geography asked her if it was true that they were fighting over her. No, Eleanor said, for Christ's sake. Later, she wished that she would have said yes, because if that had gotten back to Tina, oh my God, it would have made her furious. On the day of the fight, Denise and Bibi wanted Eleanor to tell them every gory detail, especially the gory details. Denise even bought Eleanor an ice cream cone to celebrate. Anyone who whoops Steve Murphy's sorry ass deserves a medal, Denise said. I didn't go near Steve's ass, Eleanor said. But you were the cause of the ass-whooping, Denise said. I heard your boy kicked him so hard Steve cried blood. That's not true, Eleanor said. Girl, you need to learn a lesson about standing in your own light, Denise said. If my Jonesy kicked Steve's ass, I'd be walking around this place singing that song from Rocky. Na-na-na, na-na-na. That made Bibi giggle. Everything Denise said made Bibi giggle. They'd been best friends since grade school, and the better that she got to know them, the more Eleanor felt like it was an honor that they'd let her into their club. Granted, it was a weird club. Denise was wearing her overalls today with a pink t-shirt, pink and yellow hair ribbons, and a pink bandana tied around her leg. When they were standing in line for ice cream, some boy walked by and told Denise that she looked like a black, punky Brewster. Denise didn't even flinch. I don't need to worry about that riffraff, she said to Eleanor. I got a man. Jonesy and Denise were engaged. He'd already graduated and was working as an assistant manager at Shopko. They were getting married as soon as Denise was legal. And your man's fine, Bibi said, giggling. When Bibi giggled, Eleanor giggled too. Bibi's laugh was that contagious. And she always had a manic, surprised look in her eyes, that look people get when they can't keep a straight face. Eleanor wouldn't think he's fine, Denise teased. She's only interested in stone-cold killers.
Park. How long am I grounded? Park asked his father.
That's not up to me. That's up to your mother. His dad was sitting on the couch reading Soldier of Fortune.
She says forever, Park said.
I guess it's forever then.
It was almost Christmas break. If Park was grounded during Christmas break, he'd have to go 3 weeks without seeing Eleanor.
Dad, I've got an idea, his dad said, setting down the magazine. You can be ungrounded as soon as you learn to drive a stick. Then you can drive your girlfriend around.
What girlfriend?
His mother said.
She came in the front door, carrying groceries. Park got up to help her. His dad got up to give her a welcome home tongue kiss.
I told Park I'd unground him if he learned how to drive.
I know how to drive, Park shouted from the kitchen.
Learning how to drive an automatic is like learning how to do a girl push-up, his dad said.
No girl,
his mother said.
Grounded!
But for how long? Park asked, walking back into the living room. His parents were sitting on the couch.
You can't ground me forever.
Sure we can, his dad said.
Why?
Park asked. His mother looked agitated.
You're grounded until you stop thinking about that trouble girl.
Park and his dad both broke character to look at her.
What trouble girl?
Park asked.
Big Red?
His dad asked.
I don't like her,
his mother said adamantly.
She comes to my house and cries. Very weird girl. And then next thing I know, you're kicking friends and school is calling, face broken. And everybody tell me that family is trouble. Just trouble. I don't want it.
Park took a breath and held it. Everything inside him felt too hot to let out.
Mindy, his dad said, holding a wait-a-minute hand up to Park.
No, she said. No. No weird white girl in my house.
I don't know if you've noticed, but weird white girls are my only option.
Park said as loudly as he could. Even this angry, he couldn't yell at his mother.
There are other girls,
his mother said.
Good girls.
She is a good girl, Park said. You don't even know her.
His dad was standing, pushing Park toward the door.
Go, he said sternly. Go play basketball or something. Good girls don't dress like boys, his mother said. Go, his dad said.
Park didn't feel like playing basketball, and it was too cold outside without his coat. He stood in front of his house for a few minutes, then stomped over to his grandparents' house. He knocked, then opened the door. They never locked it. They were both in the kitchen watching Family Feud. His grandmother was making Polish sausage.
Park, she said. I must have known you were coming. I made way too many tater tots.
I thought you were grounded, his grandpa said.
Hush, Harold. You can't be grounded from your own grandparents. Are you feeling okay, honey? You look flushed.
I'm just cold, Park said.
Are you staying for dinner?
Yeah, he said. After dinner, they watched Matlock. His grandmother crocheted. She was working on a blanket for somebody's baby shower. Park stared at the TV, but didn't take anything in. His grandmother had filled the wall behind the TV with framed 8x10 photographs. There were pictures of his dad and his dad's older brother who died in Vietnam, and pictures of Park and Josh from every school year. There was a smaller photo of his parents on their wedding day. His dad was in his dress uniform, and his mom was wearing a pink miniskirt. Somebody had written Seoul, 1970, in the corner. His dad was 23. His mom was 18, only 2 years older than Park. Everybody had thought she must be pregnant, his dad had told him. But she wasn't.
Practically pregnant, his dad said. But that's a different thing. We were just in love.
Park hadn't expected his mom to like Eleanor, not right away. But he hadn't expected her to reject her either. His mom was so nice to everybody. Your mother's an angel, his grandma always said. It's what everybody always said. His grandparents sent him home after Hill Street Blues. His mom had gone to bed, but his dad was sitting on the couch waiting for him. Park tried to walk past.
Sit down, his dad said.
Park sat down.
You're not grounded anymore, his dad said.
Why not?
It doesn't matter why not. You're not grounded, and your mother is sorry. You know, for everything she said.
You're just saying that, Park said. His dad sighed.
Well, maybe I am. But that doesn't matter either. Your mother wants what's best for you, right? Hasn't she always wanted what's best for you?
I guess.
So she's just worried about you. She thinks she can help you pick out a girlfriend the same way she helps you pick out your classes and your clothes.
She doesn't pick out my clothes.
Jesus, Park, could you just shut up and listen?
Park sat quietly in the blue easy chair.
This is new to us, you know. Your mother's sorry. She's sorry that she hurt your feelings, and she wants you to invite your girlfriend over to dinner.
So that she can make her feel bad and weird?
Well, she is kind of weird, isn't she?
Park didn't have the energy to be angry. He sighed and let his head fall back on the chair. His dad kept talking.
Isn't that why you like her?
Park knew he should still be mad. He knew there were big chunks of the situation that were completely uncool and out of order. But he wasn't grounded anymore. He was going to get to spend more time with Eleanor. Maybe they'd even find a way to be alone. Park couldn't wait to tell her. He couldn't wait for morning.
Chapter 24. Eleanor. It was a terrible thing to admit, but sometimes Eleanor slept right through the yelling, especially after she'd been back a couple months. If she were to wake up every time Richie got angry, if she got scared every time she heard him yelling in the back room. Sometimes Maisie would wake her up, crawling into the top bunk. Maisie wouldn't let Eleanor see her cry during the day, but she shook like a little baby and sucked her thumb at night. All five of them had learned to cry without making any noise, It's okay, Eleanor would say, hugging her. It's okay. Tonight, when Eleanor woke up, she knew something was different. She heard the back door slam open, and she realized that before she'd been quite awake, she'd heard men's voices outside. Men cursing. There was more slamming in the kitchen, and then gunshots. Eleanor knew they were gunshots, even though she'd never heard them before. Gang members, she thought. Drug dealers. Rapists. Gang members who were also drug-dealing rapists. She could imagine 1,000 heinous people who might have some bone to pick out of Richie's skull. Even his friends were scary. She must have started to get out of bed as soon as she heard the gunshots. She was already on the bottom bunk, crawling over Maisie. Don't move, she whispered, not sure whether Maisie was awake. Eleanor opened the window just enough to fit through. There wasn't any screen. She climbed out and ran as lightly as she could off the porch. She stopped at the house next door. An old guy named Gil lived there. He wore suspenders with T-shirts and gave them dirty looks when he was sweeping his sidewalk. Gil took forever to answer the door, and when he did, Eleanor realized she'd used up all her adrenaline knocking. Hi, she said weakly. He looked mean and mad as spit. Gil could dirty-look Tina right under the table, and then he'd probably kick her. Can I use your phone? She asked. I need to call the police.
What?
Gil barked. His hair was oiled down, and he even wore suspenders with his pajamas. I need to call 911, she said. She sounded like she was trying to borrow a cup of sugar. Or maybe you could call 911 for me? There are men in my house with guns. Please. Gil didn't seem impressed, but he let her in. His house was really nice inside. She wondered if he used to have a wife, or if he just really liked ruffles. The phone was in the kitchen. I think there are men in my house, Eleanor told the 911 operator. I heard gunshots. Gil didn't tell her to leave, so she waited for the police in his kitchen. He had a whole pan of brownies on the counter, but he didn't offer any. His refrigerator was covered with magnets shaped like states, and he had an egg timer that looked like a chicken. He sat at the kitchen table and lit a cigarette. He didn't offer her one of those either. When the police pulled up, Eleanor walked out of the house feeling silly suddenly about her bare feet. Gil shut the door behind her. The cops didn't get out of their car. You called 911? One of them asked. I think there's somebody in my house, she said shakily. I heard people yelling and gunshots.
All right, he said. Hang on a minute, and we'll go in with you.
With me? Eleanor thought. She wasn't going back in there at all. What was she going to say to the Hell's Angels in her living room? The police officers, two big guys in tall black boots, parked and followed her up onto the porch.
Go ahead, one said. Open the door.
I can't. It's locked.
How'd you get out?
The window.
Then go back through the window.
The next time she called 911, she was going to request cops who wouldn't send her alone into an occupied building. Did firemen do this too? Hey, kid, you go in first and unlock the door. She climbed in the window, climbed over Maisie, still sleeping, ran into the living room, opened the front door, then ran back into her room and sat on the bottom bunk.
This is the police, she heard.
Then she heard Richie cussing.
What the fuck?
Her mom, what's going on?
This is the police.
Her brothers and sisters were waking up and crawling to one another frantically. Someone stepped on the baby and he started to cry. Eleanor heard the police tramping through the house. She heard Richie shouting. The bedroom door flew open and their mom came in like Mr. Rochester's wife in a long, torn white nightgown. Did you call them? She asked Eleanor. Eleanor nodded. I heard gunshots, she said. Shh, her mother said, rushing to the bed and pressing her hand too hard over Eleanor's mouth. Don't say anything more, she hissed. If they ask, say it was a mistake. This was all a mistake. The door opened, and her mother moved her hand away. Two flashlights shot around the room. Her siblings were all awake and crying. Their eyes flashed like cats. They're just scared, her mother said. They don't know what's happening.
There's nobody here, the cop said to Eleanor, shining his light in her direction. We checked the yard and the basement.
It was more of an accusation than an assurance. I'm sorry, she said. I thought I heard something. The lights went out, and Eleanor heard all three men talking in the living room. She heard the police officers on the porch with their heavy boots, and she heard them drive away. The window was still open. Richie came into the room then. He never came into their room. Eleanor felt a new flood of adrenaline.
What were you thinking?
He said softly. She didn't say anything. Her mother held her hand, and Eleanor locked her jaw shut. Richie, she didn't know, her mom said. She just heard the gun.
What the fuck? He said, slamming his fist into the door. The veneer splintered.
She thought she was protecting us. It was a mistake.
Are you trying to get rid of me? Did you think you could get rid of me?
Eleanor hid her face in her mother's shoulder. It wasn't a protection. It was like hiding behind the thing in the room he was most likely to hit. It was a mistake, her mother said gently. She was trying to help.
You never call them here, he said to Eleanor,
his voice dying, his eyes wild.
Never again.
And then, shouting,
I can get rid of all of you.
He banged the door closed behind him. Back to bed, her mother said. Everybody. But Mom, Eleanor whispered, in bed, her mom said, helping Eleanor up the ladder to her bunk. Then her mom leaned in close, her mouth touching Eleanor's ear. It was Richie, she whispered. There were kids playing basketball in the park, being loud. He was just trying to scare them. But he doesn't have a license, and there are other things in the house. He could have been arrested. No more tonight, not a breath. She knelt down with the boys for a minute, petting and hushing, then floated out of the room. Eleanor could swear she heard five hearts racing. Every one of them was stifling a sob, crying inside out. She climbed out of her bed and into Maisie's. It's okay, she whispered to the room. It's okay now.
Chapter 25 Park. Eleanor seemed off that morning. She didn't say anything while they waited for the bus. When they got on, she dropped onto their seat and leaned against the wall. Park pulled on her sleeve, and she not even half smiled. Okay? He asked. She glanced up at him. Now, she said. He didn't believe her. He pulled on her sleeve again. She fell against him and hid her face in his shoulder. Park laid his face in her hair and closed his eyes. Okay? He asked. Almost, she said. She pulled away when the bus stopped. She never let him hold her hand once they were off the bus. She wouldn't touch him in the hallways. People will look at us, she always said. He couldn't believe that still mattered to her. Girls who don't want to be looked at don't tie curtain tassels in their hair. They don't wear men's golf shoes with the spikes still attached. So, today, he stood by her locker and only thought about touching her. He wanted to tell her his news, but she seemed so far away, he wasn't sure she'd hear him.
Eleanor. Where would she go this time? Back to the Hickmans? Hey, remember that time when my mom asked if I could stay with you guys for a few days and then she didn't come back for a year? I really appreciate the fact that you didn't turn me into Child Protective Services. That was very Christian of you. Do you still have that fold-out couch? Fuck. Before Richie moved in, Eleanor only knew that word from books and bathroom walls. Fucking woman. Fucking kids. Fuck you, you little bitch. Who the fuck touched my stereo? Eleanor hadn't seen it coming the last time, when Richie kicked her out. She couldn't have seen it coming, because she never thought it could happen. She never thought he'd try. And she never, ever thought her mom would go along with it. Richie must have recognized before Eleanor that her mother's allegiances had shifted. It was embarrassing to think about the day that it happened. Embarrassing on top of everything else, because it really was Eleanor's fault. She really was asking for it. She was in her room typing song lyrics on an old manual typewriter that her mom had brought home from the Goodwill. It needed new ribbon. Eleanor had a box full of cartridges that didn't fit, but it still worked. She loved everything about that typewriter, the way the keys felt, the sticky, crunchy noise they made. She even liked the way it smelled, like metal and shoe polish. She was bored that day, the day it happened. It was too hot to do anything but lie around or read or watch TV. Richie was in the living room. He hadn't gotten out of bed until 2 or 3, and everybody could tell he was in a bad mood. Her mom was walking around the house in nervous circles, offering Richie lemonade and sandwiches and aspirin. Eleanor hated it when her mom acted like that. Relentlessly submissive, it was humiliating to be in the same room. So Eleanor was upstairs typing song lyrics. Scarborough Fair. She heard Richie complaining, "What the fuck is that noise?" And, "Fuck, Sabrina, can't you shut her up?" Her mom tiptoed up the stairs and ducked her head into Eleanor's room. "Richie isn't feeling well," she said. "Can you put that away?" She looked pale and anxious. Eleanor hated that look. She waited for her mother to get back downstairs. Then, without really thinking about why, Eleanor deliberately pressed a key. A. Crunch lap. Her fingertips trembled over the keyboard. R. E. Krsh, krsh, lap tap. Nothing happened. No one stirred. The house was hot and stiff and as quiet as a library in hell. Eleanor closed her eyes and jerked her chin into the air. "You going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme." Richie came up the stairs so fast, in Eleanor's head he was flying. In Eleanor's head, he burst open the door by hurling a ball of fire at it. He was on her before she could brace herself, tearing the typewriter from her hands and throwing it into the wall so hard it broke through the plaster and hung for a moment in the lath. Eleanor was too shocked to make out what he was shouting at her. Fat and fuck and bitch. He'd never come this close to her before. Her fear of him crushed her back. She didn't want him to see it in her eyes, so she pressed her face into her hands and her pillow. Fat and fuck and bitch, and I warned you, Sabrina. "I hate you," Eleanor whispered into the pillow. She could hear things slamming. She could hear her mother in the doorway, talking softly, like she was trying to put a baby back to sleep. Fat and fuck and bitch, and begging for it, just fucking begging for it. "I hate you," Eleanor said louder. "I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Fuck this. I hate you. Fuck all of you. Fuck you, stupid bitches. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you." What did she just say? In Eleanor's head, the house shook. Her mother was pulling on her then, trying to pull her out of bed. Eleanor tried to go with her, but she was too scared to stand up. She wanted to flatten herself to the floor and crawl away. She wanted to pretend that the room was full of smoke. Richie was roaring. Her mother pulled Eleanor to the top of the stairs, then pushed her down. He was right behind them. Eleanor fell against the banister and practically ran to the front door on all fours. She got outside and kept running to the end of the sidewalk. Ben was sitting on the porch, playing with his Hot Wheels. He stopped and watched Eleanor run by. Eleanor wondered if she should keep running, but where would she go? Even when she was a little girl, she never fantasized about running away. She could never imagine herself past the edge of the yard. Where would she go? Who would take her? When the front door opened again, Eleanor took a few steps into the street. It was just her mom. She took Eleanor's arm and started walking quickly toward the neighbor's house. If Eleanor would have known then what was about to happen, she would have run back to tell Ben goodbye. She would have looked for Maisie and Mouse and kissed them each hard on the cheek. Maybe she would have asked to go back inside to see the baby. And if Richie had been inside waiting for her, maybe she would have dropped to her knees and begged him to let her stay. Maybe she would have said anything he wanted her to. If he wanted that now, If he wanted her to beg for forgiveness, for mercy, if that was the price she had to pay to stay, she'd do it. She hoped he couldn't see that. She hoped none of them could see what was left of her.
Park. She ignored Mr. Stessman in English class. In history, she stared out the window. On the way home, she wasn't irritable. She wasn't anything at all. Okay? He asked. She nodded her head against him. When she got off the bus at her stop, Park still hadn't told her. So he jumped up and followed her, even though he knew she didn't want him to.
Park, she said, looking nervously down the street to her house.
I know, he said, but I wanted to tell you. I'm not grounded anymore.
You're not?
Uh-uh, he shook his head.
That's great, she said.
Yeah. She looked back at her house.
It means you can come over again, he said.
Oh, she said. I mean, if you want to. This wasn't going like he thought it would. Even when Eleanor was looking at him, she wasn't looking at him.
Oh, she said. Eleanor, is everything okay?
She nodded.
Do you still...
He hung on to the backpack straps across his chest.
I mean, do you still want to? Do you still miss me?
She nodded. She looked like she was going to cry. Park hoped she wouldn't cry at his house again. If she ever came back. It felt like she was slipping away.
I'm just really tired, she said.
Chapter 26. Eleanor. Did she miss him? She wanted to lose herself in him, to tie his arms around her like a tourniquet. If she showed him how much she needed him, he'd run away. Chapter 27. Eleanor. Eleanor felt better the next morning. Mornings usually got the best of her. This morning she woke up with that stupid cat curled up against her like it couldn't tell that she'd never liked him, or cats in general. And then her mom gave her a fried egg sandwich that Richie hadn't wanted, and pinned an old, chipped glass flower to Eleanor's jacket. I found it at the thrift shop, her mom said. Maisie wanted it, but I saved it for you. She smudged vanilla behind Eleanor's ears. I might go to Tina's house after school, Eleanor said. Okay, her mom said. Have fun. Eleanor hoped that Park would be waiting for her at the bus stop, but she wouldn't blame him if he wasn't. He was. He was standing there in the half-light, wearing a gray trench coat and black high tops, and watching for her. She ran past the last few houses to get to him. Good morning, she said, shoving him with both hands. He laughed and stepped back.
Who are you?
I'm your girlfriend, she said. Ask anybody.
No, my girlfriend is sad and quiet and keeps me up all night worrying about her.
Bummer. Sounds like you need a different girlfriend. He smiled and shook his head. It was cold and half dark, and Eleanor could see Park's breath. She resisted the urge to try to swallow it. I told my mom that I was going to a friend's house after school, she said.
Yeah?
Park was the only person she knew who wore his backpack actually on his shoulders, not slung over one side, and he was always holding on to the straps, like he'd just jumped out of a plane or something. It was extremely cute, especially when he was being shy and letting his head hang forward. She pulled the front of his bangs. Yeah. Cool, he said, smiling, all shiny cheeks and full lips. Don't bite his face, Eleanor told herself. It's disturbing and needy and never happens in situation comedies or movies that end with big kisses. I'm sorry about yesterday, she said. He hung on to his straps and shrugged. Yesterday happens. God! It was like he wanted her to eat his face clean off.
Park. He almost told her all the things his mom had said about her. It seemed like it was wrong to keep secrets from Eleanor. But it seemed like it would be more wrong to share that kind of secret. It would just make Eleanor even more nervous. She might even refuse to come over. She was so happy today. She was a different person. She kept squeezing his hand. She even bit his shoulder when they were getting off the bus. Plus, if he told her, at the very least she was going to want to go home and change. She was wearing an orange Argyle sweater today, way too big, with her silky green tie and baggy painter's jeans. Park didn't know if Eleanor even had any girls' clothes. And he didn't care. He kind of liked that she didn't. Maybe that was another gay thing about him. But he didn't think so, because Eleanor wouldn't look like a guy even if you cut off her hair and gave her a mustache. All the men's clothes she wore just called attention to how much of a girl she was. He wasn't going to tell her about his mom, and he wasn't going to tell her to smile. But if she bit him again, he was going to lose something. "Who are you?" he asked when she was still smiling in English class. "Ask anybody," she said.
Eleanor. In Spanish class today, they were supposed to write a letter in Spanish to a friend. Señora Buzon put on an episode of Que Pasa USA while they worked on it. Eleanor tried to write a letter to Park. She didn't get very far. Estimada Señor Sheridan, me gusta comer su cara. Besos, Leonor. For the rest of the day, whenever Eleanor felt nervous or scared, she told herself to be happy instead. It didn't really make her feel better, but it kept her from feeling worse. She told herself that Park's family must be decent people because they'd raised a person like Park. Never mind that this principle didn't hold true in her own family. It wasn't like she had to face his family alone. Park would be there. That was the whole point. Was there any place so horrible that she wouldn't go there to be with Park? She saw him after seventh hour in a place she'd never seen him before, carrying a microscope down the hall on the third floor. It was at least twice as nice as seeing him somewhere she expected him to be.
Chapter 28. Park. He called his mom during lunch to tell her that Eleanor was coming over. His counselor let him use her phone. Mrs. Dunn loved the opportunity to be good in a crisis, so all Park had to do was imply that it was an emergency. "I just wanted to tell you that Eleanor's coming over after school," he told his mom. "Dad said it was all right."
"Fine,"
his mother said, not even pretending that she was okay with it.
"Is she staying for dinner?"
"I don't know," Park said. "Probably not." His mother sighed. "You have to be nice to her, you know."
"I'm nice to everybody," his mom said. "You know that."
He could tell Eleanor was nervous on the bus. She was quiet, and she kept running her bottom lip through her teeth, making it go white, so that you could see that her lips had freckles, too. Park tried to get her to talk about Watchmen. They'd just read the fourth chapter. "What do you think of the pirate story?" he asked.
"What pirate story?"
"You know, there's that character who's always reading a comic book about pirates, the story within the story, the pirate story."
"I always skip that part," she said.
"You skip it?"
"It's boring. Blah, 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 pirates, blah, blah, blah."
"Nothing Alan Moore writes can be blah, blah, blah," Park said solemnly. Eleanor shrugged and bit her lip. "I'm beginning to think you shouldn't have started reading comics with a book that completely deconstructs the last 50 years of the genre," he said.
"All I'm hearing is blah, blah, blah genre."
The bus stopped near Eleanor's house. She looked at him.
"We may as well get off at my stop," Park said.
"Right?"
Eleanor shrugged again. They got off at his stop, along with Steve and Tina and most of the people who sat at the back of the bus. All the back-of-the-bus kids hung out in Steve's garage when he wasn't working, even in winter. Park and Eleanor trailed behind them.
"I'm sorry I look so stupid today," she said.
You look like you always do, he said. Her bag was hanging at the end of her arm. He tried to take it, but she pulled away.
I always look stupid? That's not what I meant.
It's what you said, she muttered. He wanted to ask her not to be mad right now. Like, any time but now. She could be mad at him for no reason all day tomorrow. If she wanted to.
You really know how to make a girl feel special, Eleanor said.
I've never pretended to know anything about girls, he answered.
That's not what I heard, she said. I heard you were allowed to have girls in your room.
They were there, he said, but I didn't learn anything. They both stopped on his porch. He took her bag from her and tried not to look nervous. Eleanor was looking down the walk like she might bolt.
I meant that you don't look any different than you usually look, he said softly, just in case his mom was standing on the other side of the door. And you always look nice.
I never look nice, she said, like he was an idiot.
I like the way you look, he said. It came out more like an argument than a compliment. That doesn't mean it's nice,
she was whispering too.
Fine then, you look like a hobo.
A hobo?
Her eyes lit.
Yeah, a gypsy hobo, he said. You look like you just joined the cast of Godspell.
I don't even know what that is.
It's terrible. She stepped closer to him.
I look like a hobo?
Worse, he said. Like a sad hobo clown.
And you like it?
I love it. As soon as he said it, she broke into a smile. And when Eleanor smiled, something broke inside him. Something always did.
Eleanor. It was probably a good thing that Park's mom opened the door when she did, because Eleanor was thinking about kissing him, and no way was that a good idea. Eleanor didn't know the first thing about kissing. Of course, she'd watched a million kisses on TV, thank you, Fonzie, but TV never showed you the mechanics of it. If Eleanor tried to kiss Park, it would be like a real-life version of some little girl making her Barbie kiss Ken, just smashing their faces together. Besides, if Park's mom had opened the door right in the middle of a big, awkward kiss, she'd hate Eleanor even more. Park's mom did hate her, you could tell. Or maybe she just hated the idea of Eleanor, of a girl seducing her firstborn son right in her own living room. Eleanor followed Park into the living room and sat down. She tried to look extra polite. When his mom offered them a snack, Eleanor said, "That would be great, thank you." His mom was looking at Eleanor like she was something somebody had spilled on the baby blue couch. She brought out cookies, then left them alone. Park seemed so happy. Eleanor tried to concentrate on how nice it was to be with him, but it was taking too much of her concentration, just keeping herself together. It was the little things about Park's house that really freaked her out, like all the glass grapes hanging from everything, and the curtains that matched the sofa, that matched the little doily napkins under the lamps. You'd think that nobody interesting could grow up in a house as nice and boring as this one. But Park was the smartest, funniest guy she'd ever met, and this was his home planet. Eleanor wanted to feel superior to Park's mom and her Avon lady house. But instead, she kept thinking about how nice it must be to live in a house like this one, with your own room, and your own parents, and 6 different kinds of cookies in the cupboard.
Park.
Eleanor was right. She never looked nice. She looked like art, and art wasn't supposed to look nice. It was supposed to make you feel something. Eleanor sitting next to him on the couch made Park feel like someone had opened a window in the middle of the room. Like someone had replaced all the air in the room with brand new, improved air, now with twice the freshness. Eleanor made him feel like something was happening, even when they were just sitting on the couch. She wouldn't let him hold her hand, not in his house, and she wouldn't stay for dinner. But she said she'd come back tomorrow, if his parents said it was okay, which they did. His mom was being perfectly nice so far. She wasn't turning on the charm like she did for her clients and the neighbors, but she wasn't being rude either. And if she wanted to hide in the kitchen every time Eleanor came over, Park thought, that was her prerogative. Eleanor came over again on Thursday afternoon and Friday, and on Saturday, while they were playing Nintendo with Josh, his dad asked her to stay for dinner. Park couldn't believe it when she said yes. His dad put the leaf into the dining room table, and Eleanor sat right next to Park. She was nervous, he could tell. She barely touched her sloppy Joe, and after a while, her smile started to go all grimacy around the edges. After dinner, they all watched Back to the Future on HBO, and his mom made popcorn. Eleanor sat with Park on the floor, leaning against the couch, and when he surreptitiously took her hand, she didn't pull away. He rubbed the inside of her palm because he knew she liked it. It made her eyelids dip like she was going to fall asleep. When the movie was over, Park's dad insisted that Park walk Eleanor home.
"Thanks for having me, Mr. Sheridan," she said. "And thank you for dinner, Mrs. Sheridan. It was delicious. I had a great time."
She didn't even sound like she was being sarcastic. When they got to the door, she called back,
"Good night."
Park closed the door behind them. You could almost see all the nervous niceness draining out of Eleanor. He wanted to hug her, to help wring it out.
"You can't walk me home," she said with her usual edge. "You know that, right?"
"I know. But I can walk you part way."
"I don't know."
"Come on," he said. "It's dark. No one will see us."
"Okay," she said, but she put her hands in her pockets. They both walked slowly. "Your family's really great," she said after a minute. "Really."
He took her arm. "Hey, I want to show you something." He pulled her into the next driveway between a pine tree and an RV.
"Park, this is trespassing."
"It's not. My grandparents live here."
"What do you want to show me?"
"Nothing, really. I just want to be alone with you for a minute."
He pulled her to the back of the driveway, where they were almost completely hidden by a line of trees and the RV in the garage.
"Seriously?" she said. "That was so lame."
"I know," he said, turning to her. "Next time, I'll just say, Eleanor, follow me down this dark alley. I want to kiss you."
She didn't roll her eyes. She took a breath, then closed her mouth. He was learning how to catch her off guard. She pushed her hands deeper in her pockets, so he put his hands on her elbows.
"Next time," he said, "I'll just say, Eleanor, duck behind these bushes with me. I'm going to lose my mind if I don't kiss you."
She didn't move, so he thought it was probably okay to touch her face. Her skin was as soft as it looked, white and smooth as freckled porcelain.
"I'll just say, Eleanor, follow me down this rabbit hole."
He laid his thumb on her lips to see if she'd pull away. She didn't. He leaned closer. He wanted to close his eyes, but he didn't trust her not to leave him standing there. When his lips were almost touching hers, she shook her head. Her nose rubbed against his.
"I've never done this before," she said.
"It's okay," he said.
"It's not. It's going to be terrible."
He shook his head.
"It's not."
She shook her head a little more. Just a little.
"You're going to regret this," she said.
That made him laugh, so he had to wait a second before he kissed her. It wasn't terrible. Eleanor's lips were soft and warm, and he could feel her pulse in her cheek. It was good that she was so nervous, because it forced him not to be. It steadied him to feel her trembling. He pulled away before he wanted to. He hadn't done this enough to know how to breathe. When he pulled away, her eyes were mostly closed. His grandparents had a light on their front porch, and Eleanor's face caught every bit of it. She looked like she should be married to the man in the moon. Her face dropped after a second, and he let his hand fall to her shoulder. "Okay," he whispered.
She nodded. He pulled her closer and kissed the top of her head. He tried to find her ear under all that hair. "Come here," he said. "I want to show you something." She laughed. He lifted her chin. The second time was even less terrible.
Eleanor. They walked together from his grandparents' driveway to the alley. Then Park waited there in the shadows and watched Eleanor walk home alone. She told herself not to look back. Richie was home, and everybody except her mom was watching TV. It wasn't that late. Eleanor tried to act like there was nothing strange about her coming home in the dark. "Where have you been?" Richie said. "At a friend's house." "What friend?" "I told you, honey," her mom said, stepping into the room, drying a pan. "Eleanor has a girlfriend in the neighborhood, Lisa." "Tina," Eleanor said.
"Girlfriend, huh?" Richie said. "Giving up on men already?"
He thought that was pretty funny. Eleanor went into the bedroom and closed the door. She didn't turn on the light. She climbed into bed in her street clothes, opened the curtains, and wiped the condensation off the window. She couldn't see the alley or anything moving outside. The window fogged over again. Eleanor closed her eyes and laid her forehead against the glass. Chapter 29. Eleanor. When she saw Park standing at the bus stop on Monday morning, she started giggling. Seriously, giggling like a cartoon character. When their cheeks get all red and little hearts start popping out of their ears. It was ridiculous.
Park. When he saw Eleanor walking toward him on Monday morning, Park wanted to run to her and sweep her up in his arms, like some guy in the soap operas his mom watched. He hung on to his backpack to hold himself back. It was kind of wonderful.
Eleanor. Park was just her height, but he seemed taller.
Park. Eleanor's eyelashes were the same color as her freckles.
Eleanor. They talked about the White Album on the way to school, but just as an excuse to stare at each other's mouths. You'd think they were lip-reading. Maybe that's why Park kept laughing, even when they were talking about Helter Skelter, which wasn't the Beatles' funniest song even before Charles Manson got a hold of it.
Chapter 30. Park.
"Hey," Cal said, taking a bite out of his ribbecue sandwich. "You should come to the basketball game with us Thursday, and don't even try to tell me you don't like basketball, Spud."
"I don't know.
Kim's going to be there."
Park groaned.
"Cal, sitting next to me,"
Cal said,
"because we're totally going out."
"Wait, seriously?" Park covered his mouth to keep a chunk of sandwich from flying out. "Are we talking about the same Kim?"
"Is that so hard to believe?"
Cal opened his carton of milk completely and drank out of it like a cup.
"She wasn't even into you, you know. She was just bored, and she thought you were mysterious and quiet, like still waters run deep. I told her that sometimes still waters just run still."
"Thanks."
"But she's totally into me now, so you can hang out with us if you want. The basketball games are a blast. They sell nachos and everything."
"I'll think about it," Park said.
He wasn't going to think about it. He wasn't going anywhere without Eleanor, and she didn't seem like the basketball game type.
Eleanor. "Hey, girl," Denise said after gym class. They were in the locker room, changing back into their street clothes. "So I've been thinking, you've got to go to Sprite Night with us this week. Jonesy's got his car fixed, and he's got this Thursday off. We are going to do it right, all through the night. "You know I'm not allowed to go out," Eleanor said.
"I know that you're not allowed to go to your boyfriend's house either," Denise said.
"I heard that," Bibi said.
Eleanor should never have told them about Park's house, but she'd been dying to tell somebody. This was how people ended up in jail after committing the perfect crime.
"Keep it down," she said. "God."
"You should come," Bibi said. Her face was perfectly round, with dimples so deep that when she smiled, she looked tufted like a cushion. We have so much fun. I'll bet you've never even been dancing before. I don't know, Eleanor said. Is this about your man? Denise asked. Because he can come too. He don't take up much space. Bebe giggled, so Eleanor giggled too. She couldn't imagine Park dancing. He'd probably be really good at it, if all the top 40 music didn't make his ears bleed. He was good at everything. Still, she couldn't imagine the two of them going out with Denise or Bebe or anybody. Thinking about going out with Park in public was kind of like thinking about taking your helmet off in space.
Park. His mom said that if they were going to hang out every night after school, which they definitely were, they had to start doing homework. She's probably right, Eleanor said on the bus. I've been faking it in English all week.
You were faking it today? Seriously? It didn't sound like it.
We did Shakespeare last year at my old school, but I can't fake it in math. I can't even... What's the opposite of faking it?
I can help you with your math, you know. I'm already through algebra.
Gosh, Wally, that'd be dreamy.
Or not, he said.
I could not help you with your math. Even her mean, smirky smile made him crazy.
They tried to study in the living room, but Josh wanted to watch TV, so they took their stuff into the kitchen. His mom said it was okay, then said she had stuff to do in the garage. Whatever.
Eleanor moved her lips when she read.
Park kicked her gently under the table and threw crumpled-up pieces of paper into her hair. They were almost never alone, and now that they almost practically were, he felt kind of frantic for her attention. He flipped her algebra book closed with his pen.
Seriously?
She tried to open it again.
No,
he said, pulling it toward him.
I thought we were studying.
I know, he said.
I just... We're alone. Sort of. So we should be doing alone things. You sound so creepy right now.
I meant talking. He wasn't sure what he meant. He looked down at the table. Eleanor's algebra book was covered with her handwriting, the lyrics to one song wrapped and coiled around the title of another. He saw his name written in tiny cursive letters, your own name always stands out, and hidden in the chorus of a Smith song. He felt himself grin.
What? Eleanor asked. Nothing.
What? He looked back at the book. He was going to think about this later, after she went home. He was going to think about Eleanor sitting in class, thinking about him, carefully writing his name someplace she thought only she would see. And then he noticed something else. Written just as small, just as carefully, in all lowercase letters. I know you're a slut. You smell like cum.
What?
Eleanor said, trying to pull the book away. Park held on to it. He felt the Bruce Banner blood rushing to his face.
Why didn't you tell me that this was still happening?
That what was still happening?
He didn't want to say it. He didn't want to point to it. He didn't want their eyes on those words together.
This,
he said, waving his hand over the words. She looked, and immediately started scrubbing the bad writing out with her pen. Her face was skim milk, and her neck went red and blotchy.
Why didn't you tell me?
He said.
I didn't know it was there. I thought this had stopped.
Why would you think that?
Why had he thought that? Because she was with him now?
Why didn't you tell me about this?
Why would I tell you?
She asked.
It's gross and embarrassing.
She was still scribbling. He put his hand over her wrist.
Maybe I could help.
Help how?
She shoved the book toward him.
Do you want to kick it?
He clenched his teeth. She took the book back and put it in her bag.
Do you know who's doing it?
He asked.
Are you going to kick them?
Maybe.
Well,
she said.
I've narrowed it down to people who don't like me. It couldn't be just anyone.
It would have to be somebody who could get to your books without you knowing about it.
10 seconds ago, Eleanor had looked mean as a cat. Now she looked resigned, slumped over the table with her fingertips at her temples.
I don't know.
She shook her head.
It seems like it always happens on gym days.
Do you leave your books in the locker room?
She rubbed her eyes with both hands.
I feel like now you're intentionally asking me stupid questions. You're like the worst detective ever.
Who doesn't like you in gym class?
Huh!
She was still covering her face.
Who doesn't like me in gym class?
You need to take this seriously, he said.
No,
she said firmly, squeezing her hands into fists.
This is exactly the sort of thing I shouldn't take seriously. That's exactly what Tina and her hench girls want me to do. If they think they're getting to me, they'll never leave me alone.
What does Tina have to do with this?
Tina is the queen of the people in my gym class who don't like me.
Tina would never do anything this bad. Eleanor looked hard at him.
Are you kidding? Tina's a monster. She's what would happen if the devil married the wicked witch and they roll their baby in a bowl of chopped evil.
Park thought of the Tina who sold him out in the garage and made fun of people on the bus. But then he thought of all the times that Steve had gone after Park and Tina had pulled him back.
I've known Tina since we were kids, he said.
She's not that bad. We used to be friends.
You don't act like friends.
Well, she's dating Steve now.
Why does that matter?
Park couldn't think of how to answer.
Why does it matter?
Eleanor's eyes were dark slits in her face. If he lied to her about this, she'd never forgive him.
None of it matters now, he said. It's stupid. Tina and I went together in the 6th grade. Not that we ever went anywhere or did anything. Tina? You went with Tina? It was the 6th grade. It was nothing. But you were boyfriend and girlfriend? Did you hold hands?
I don't remember.
Did you kiss her?
None of this matters. But it did. Because it was making Eleanor look at him like he was a stranger. It was making him feel like a stranger. He knew that Tina had a mean streak, but he also knew that she wouldn't go this far. What did he know about Eleanor? Not much. It was like she didn't want him to know her better. He felt everything for Eleanor, but what did he really know? You always write in lowercase letters.
Saying this out loud seemed like a good idea only for as long as the words were on his tongue.
But he kept talking. Did you write those things yourself? Eleanor paled from pale to ashen. It was like all the blood in her body rushed to her heart all at once. Her speckled lips hung open. Then she snapped out of it. She started stacking her books.
If I were going to write a note to myself, calling myself a dirty slut, she said it matter-of-factly. You're right, I might not use capital letters, but I would definitely use an apostrophe, and probably a period. I'm a huge fan of punctuation.
What are you doing? He asked. She shook her head and stood up. He couldn't for the life of him think of how to stop her.
I don't know who's been writing on my books, she said coolly. But I think we just solved the mystery of why Tina hates me so much.
Eleanor, no, she said, her voice catching.
I don't want to talk anymore.
She walked out of the kitchen just as Park's mom was coming in from the garage. His mom looked at Park with a face he was beginning to recognize.
What do you see in this weird white girl?
Park.
That night, Park lay in bed thinking about Eleanor thinking about him, writing his name on her book.
She'd probably already scribbled that out, too.
He tried to think about why he defended Tina.
Why did it matter to him whether Tina was good or bad?
Eleanor was right. He and Tina weren't friends. They weren't anything like friends. They hadn't even been friends in the 6th grade.
Tina had asked Park to go with her, and Park had said yes, because everybody knew that Tina was the most popular girl in class. Going with Tina was such powerful social currency, Park was still spending it. Being Tina's first boyfriend kept Park out of the lowest neighborhood caste. Even though they all thought Park was weird and yellow, even though he had never fit in, they couldn't call him a freak or a chink or a fag. Because, well, first, because his dad was a giant and a veteran and from the neighborhood. But second, because what would that say about Tina? And Tina had never turned on Park or pretended he didn't happen. In fact, well, there were times when he thought she wanted something to happen between them again. Like, a few times, she'd come over to Park's house on the wrong day for her hair appointment and ended up in Park's room trying to find something for them to talk about. On homecoming night, when she came over to have her hair put up, she'd stopped in Park's room to ask what he thought of her strapless blue dress. She'd had him untangle her necklace from the hair at the back of her neck. Park always let these opportunities pass like he didn't see them. Steve would kill him if he hooked up with Tina. Plus, Park didn't want to hook up with Tina. They didn't have anything in common, like nothing. And it wasn't the kind of nothing that can be exotic and exciting. It was just boring. He didn't even think Tina really liked him deep down. It was more like she didn't want him to get over her. And not so deep down, Park didn't want Tina to get over him. It was nice to have the most popular girl in the neighborhood offering herself to him every now and then. Park rolled onto his stomach and pressed his face into his pillow. He thought he was overcaring what people thought about him. He thought that loving Eleanor proved that. But he kept finding new pockets of shallow inside himself. He kept finding new ways to betray her.
Chapter 31. Eleanor. There was just one more day of school left before Christmas vacation. Eleanor didn't go. She told her mother she was sick.
Park. When he got to the bus stop Friday morning, Park was ready to apologize. But Eleanor didn't show up, which made him feel a lot less like apologizing. What now? He said in the direction of her house. Were they supposed to break up over this? Was she going to go 3 weeks without talking to him? He knew it wasn't Eleanor's fault that she didn't have a phone and that her house was the fortress of solitude, but Jesus, it made it so easy for her to cut herself off whenever she felt like it. I'm sorry, he said at her house too loudly. A dog started barking in the yard behind him. Sorry, Park muttered to the dog. The bus turned the corner and heaved to a stop. Park could see Tina in the back window, watching him. I'm sorry, he thought, not looking back again.
Eleanor. With Richie at work all day, she didn't have to stay in her room, but she did anyway, like a dog who won't leave its kennel. She ran out of batteries. She ran out of things to read. She lay in bed so much, she actually felt dizzy when she got up Sunday afternoon to eat dinner. Her mom said Eleanor had to come out of her crypt if she was hungry. Eleanor sat on the living room floor next to Mouse. "Why are you crying?" he asked. He was holding a bean burrito, and it was dripping onto his T-shirt and the floor. "I'm not," she said. Mouse held the burrito over his head and tried to catch the leak with his mouth. Yeah, you are. Maisie looked up at Eleanor, then back at the TV. Is it because you hate Dad? Mouse asked. Yes, Eleanor said. Eleanor, her mother said, walking out of the kitchen. No, Eleanor said to Mouse, shaking her head. I told you, I'm not crying. She went back to her room and climbed into bed, rubbing her face in the pillow. Nobody followed her to see what was wrong. Maybe her mom realized that she'd pretty much forfeited the right to ask questions for all eternity when she dumped Eleanor at somebody's house for a year. Or maybe she just didn't care. Eleanor rolled onto her back and picked up her dead Walkman. She took out the tape and held it up to the light, turning the reels with her fingertip and looking at Park's handwriting on the label. Never mind the Sex Pistols, songs Eleanor might like. Park thought she'd written those awful things on her books herself. and he'd taken Tina's side against hers. Tina's! She closed her eyes again and remembered the first time that he kissed her. How she'd let her neck bend back. How she'd opened her mouth. How she'd believed him when he said she was special.
Park.
A week into break, his dad asked Park if he and Eleanor had broken up.
Sort of, Park said.
That's too bad, his dad said.
It is?
Well, it must be. You're acting like a 4-year-old lost at Kmart.
Park sighed.
Can't you get her back? His dad asked.
I can't even get her to talk to me.
It's too bad you can't talk to your mother about this. The only way I know how to land a girl is to look sharp in a uniform.
Eleanor. A week into break, Eleanor's mom woke her up before sunrise. Do you want to walk to the store with me? No, Eleanor said. Come on, I could use the extra hands. Her mom walked fast, and she had long legs. Eleanor had to take extra steps just to keep up. It's cold, she said. I told you to wear a hat. Her mom had told her to wear socks, too, but they looked ridiculous with Eleanor's Vans. It was a 40-minute walk. When they got to the grocery store, her mom bought them each a day-old cream horn and a cup of 25-cent coffee. Eleanor dumped Coffee Mate and Sweet'n Low in hers and followed her mom to the bargain bin. Her mom had this thing about being the first person to go through all the smashed cereal boxes and dented cans. Afterwards, they walked to the Goodwill, and Eleanor found a stack of old analog magazines and settled in on the least disgusting couch in the furniture section. When it was time to go, her mom came up from behind her with an incredibly ugly stocking cap and pulled it over her head. Great, Eleanor said. Now I have lice. She felt better on the way home, which was probably the point of this whole field trip. It was still cold, but the sun was shining, and her mom was humming that Joni Mitchell song about clouds and circuses. Eleanor almost told her everything. About Park and Tina and the bus and the fight. About the place between his grandparents' house and the RV. She felt it all right at the back of her throat, like a bomb or a tiger sitting on the base of her tongue. Keeping it in made her eyes water. The plastic shopping bags were cutting into her palms. Eleanor shook her head and swallowed.